Tamil, Telugu, Gujarati, Punjabi, Malayalam, Kannad, and many other languages, including English. Rent your favorite DVDs at the lowest rates ever.
Hey, Sana.
Come to Sur Sangeet, Fremont's complete music store.
Main nikla o gaddi leke.
Sur Sangeet at 39417 A Fremont Boulevard. Phone 510-226-8081.
Those of the staff or management of KLOK 1170 AM.
For more information on how you can get your own show on KLOK 1170 AM,
send us an email
to KLOK 1170 AM at AOL.com or call our business office at 408-440-0851. That's 408-440-0851.
You're listening to KLOK 1170 AM, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, and the entire Bay Area.
Sapne salamat dosto. Welcome to Jeans, T-shirt and Tie, the only Desi talk show of its kind anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies, and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopehar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. Sapne salamat dosto, sapne salamat. Welcome back. It is Saturday, it is noon, and it is time to start living out those dreams. It is time to start pursuing those dreams. So welcome to another episode of Sapne Salamat with Rohit Chandra. This is a show that's dedicated to anyone with a dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, for dreamers, for investors, for technical people and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. As you very well know by now, we are on every Saturday at noon. And this is a non-commercial show with a singular goal to promote entrepreneurship and help you realize your dreams. So no money has been paid, no money has been received by anybody to make an appearance on this show today. You should really think of the show as a helpline for startups. If you have a question related to startups or if you have a question related to pursuing your dreams, feel free to call into the studios. Our phone number here is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. All right, folks, moving on. So please feel free, call in, ask questions. We'll try and help you. We'll try and get you some answers. If you're looking for co-founders, if you're looking to somebody to be a bouncing board, you can always also reach us on the web at rohit.com/radio. That's rohit.com/radio. Or you can email us on radio@rohit.com. As usual, folks, if you have questions, please remember to turn the radio down when you call because we end up in a feedback loop. Anyways, benefit for our new listeners, I'm going to do a quick recap of what we've talked about in the past. We've talked about some fantastic VC experiences. We've had a couple of excellent VCs come on the show and talk about their experiences. We've also done Venture Capital 101 from an entrepreneur's viewpoint, which is to say which VC to pick, which one not to pick, what's going on with that, and sort of figure out what's a good idea. We've also talked about a couple of entrepreneurs who've come in and had bad VC experiences. So I think there's not often that folks will come out and talk about their bad experiences. But given the fact that this is a real show, we've had these folks come and talk about what they went through, what are the gotchas that they've got into, and what were the mistakes they made. We've also talked about Indians helping Indians. We've shared a business idea. We've done the anatomy of a startup. We've talked about what's in a name, what's not in a name, why one should name the company a certain way, how to create buzz for your company. We've talked to a viral marketing expert. We've done a couple of several serial entrepreneurs that have talked about what it takes to start companies. And we've got another such serial entrepreneur who's going to be joining us in the studios today. He's done a couple of startups. His last startup was actually sold for about close to $500 million. We'll talk to him about it in a few minutes. But first, I also want to talk to you guys and sort of thank the quality of callers that we've gotten in the past. Very appreciative of the calls that you've given in. So folks, please keep those calls coming. And now I'm going to introduce you to Ajay Malik. Ajay, welcome to the studios.
Hi,
Ajay Mishra. Thank you for coming to the show. So in my excitement, I'm saying Ajay Malik, Ajay Mishra. Thank you, Ajay. So glad to have you. So glad you could come out on a Saturday afternoon and talk to us. You've done what, two startups at this point?
That is correct. I'm very excited to be here.
Fantastic. And the last one was sold for about what, $450 million?
$450 million to Cisco Systems.
Wow. $500 million. And I am very curious to find out how you build companies for $500 million, $1 billion, $2 billion. And what does it take to build those companies? What does it take to get there? And how does one really create value for shareholders? But before I delve into all of that, I'd like to get a quick snapshot of where you started from, where you come from, and how this whole thing came about for you.
Okay, so I'm from Varanasi, India.
From Ranchi?
Varanasi. Very close to Varanasi, I have a village, and that's where I grew up. My father's a farmer, and I came here, did master's in computer science, and I went to business school, University of Chicago, and came to Bay Area in 1997, and joined the Gold Rush.
97 Gold Rush, yes, that's definitely the Gold Rush.
Late.
No, actually, I think 96 is when somebody might say it's the Gold Rush started. It lasted about 4 or 5 years in this case, as opposed to back in the 1800s. So excellent. And you came to the Valley in 97 and you right away started a company?
No, I worked for a startup named Interwave for a year and then worked
for... Oh, yes, I remember. Those guys were up in San Mateo, Foster City.
That is correct. Yes. And learn about Valley a little bit and then join Cisco System, build a larger network. And then after that, I was ready to go. And 2001, I started looking at what problem need to be solved. And I noticed that the Wi-Fi was shipping in boatloads from Taiwan looking for... it was going to be very disruptive inside the enterprise, and CIO had to do something, and there has to be a company started. So that was a genesis of airspace, that a lot of laptops coming with Wi-Fi inside the enterprise, what does the CIO has to do? And we quickly put the business plan together, found the best venture capitalist, Storm, Norwest, Battery, and found the best team and started the company.
Interesting. You make it sound so simple that all we did was put a business plan together, raise some money, started the company, sold it. I mean,
look for a big opportunity.
Yeah.
It has to be a large opportunity, and you have to think about how the world looks like 2 years from now, and what are the disruptions going to happen, especially in the enterprise.
Yeah.
And in 2001, it was Wi-Fi. In 2007, when I started this new company, it's all about smartphone. So you have to really look for that, and then after that, find the best venture capitalists, take them on your side, and then find the best customers who are opinion-leading customers, and then make sure that you're solving their real problem, and then also make sure the product comes out at the right time. And what I mean by right time...
Hang on, I'm going to slow you down here, because there's so much wealth of information in these simple statements that you're making, and I want to start exploring each of them individually and getting a little bit more details in terms of... You said something about customers, and I think customers is something all of our listeners are always struggling with, trying to figure out how do you get your customer, how do you go about that whole process. So before I dive into that, I've actually got a couple of calls on hold. I'm going to grab one of these real quick, and we'll continue talking to Ajay Mishra. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yes. Hi, everybody. Namaste, Salamat. I don't know whether I got the right name for your show.
No, it's Sapne Salamat, caller. Do you have a quick question, comment for us?
Yes, I have a couple of questions. Both are related. The number one is I'm about to launch a cloud-based SaaS product in 3 weeks from now. The alpha will be launched next week and followed by beta. What are the things I really need to know to make a product launch? You know, it's going to be a huge product, very successful product. And the second question is, I raised a fund before in 2001 for a company where I worked, but that was in 2001, and this is 2010. What are the do's and don'ts to approach a VC in 2010?
Good question. So
let me talk about the launch. Make sure that before you starting the launch, you have a couple of customers who have tried your product. They're ready to speak about it. Launching a company without having some customer testimonial, it's typically doesn't, no one covers. The press coverage and all those don't happen. So it's very, very important that you have two or three customers who have used your product. They're real and they're willing to give you a testimonial. That's the one. And the second one, should I go on the second?
Yes, please.
The second one is about the venture capitalist. And again, the same customers, if you're solving the real problem, you need to go ahead, depends what your situation is on the financing. They will also help you to go to VCs and talk to them and then able to raise the money, because VCs are also looking for, you know, what does the customer has to say? Will they recommend your product to others? And also they do their own due diligence.
Yeah, basically this is a subscription model, SaaS product. So I'll have many, many customers, especially my target markets are small companies, very, very small companies. Large companies can also use the product. But my target market is, you know, like there are, somebody told me there are more than 3 million small businesses out there. So my target market segments are there. Very, very low cost subscription model, a SaaS product.
So make sure you, as you mentioned, you're already doing, you're ahead of the game, but make sure there's as many customers you can there and you can get, have the right, segment the market, and make sure that once you look at 2 years down the road, this is a big, big opportunity, because if it's only going to be $50 million opportunity, a lot of people don't jump in. You have to think about always the opportunity. It's like half a billion or $1 billion, and then VCs get excited, and you have to go ahead and also the team. Make sure you go with the team, have the business plan, and most of the VCs want to actually hear your story and want to fund you at that time.
So let me sort of jump in for a second here, caller. In the last 2-3 weeks, I've met a whole bunch of different entrepreneurs that have come to me for mentorship and that have talked about models that sound somewhat similar to yours, where they're going after the SoHo market and they're looking to sell into the SoHo market on a subscription model. It could be something as simple as restaurant owners to as something as small business owners. And typically the subscription model they're talking about is anywhere from $9 or $10 a month to $100 a month. The problem that I found with all of these entrepreneurs that I was talking to is that, yes, there is a huge market of 3 million business owners out there. But the problem is, how do you connect and engage and sell to 3 million of them? If each one of these is going to require a phone call or 2 or 5 or 10, then the business is not going to scale, because your cost of making that human interaction is so high that what you recover from it is not easily doable. So that, I think, is the biggest gotcha that I'm seeing in the space that you are describing, as I understand it. Now, obviously, I have limited information about what your business is about, but that was the one thing that I would definitely like to point out to you. The second thing I'd like to point out to you in terms of the VC money, remember, VC money is for the guy who's looking to build a billion-dollar company. He might end up with a $100 million company or a $50 million company, but his dream is for a billion-dollar company. And VC is not necessarily the best and the only route to go. So, for example, if you build a company for $1 billion, at the end of the day, you are left with, I don't know, I'm going to make up a number, 10% of the company. You have only about $100 million that you've made. Or let's take the other scenario where you go raise VC money, but you actually end up selling it for significantly less because things didn't pan out as well as you'd like, and you sold the company for $30 or $40 million. You walk away with $3 or $4 million in that particular scenario. The same company, if you had done without venture, you could have won 100% of the company, build a $10 million company, but guess what? That $10 million would be yours. So there's both sides to the equation, that you have to really figure out what is it that you're looking for in terms of financial return as well. I think we always talk about entrepreneurship being about building dreams, but there is a financial component to this building dreams, and it is an integral part of this. So you have to keep your eye on that piece as well for yourself individually. I'm the first guy who says that, you know, it's not just about making money. It's about going out, touching people, changing lives, making an impact, making a difference. But yes, beyond all of that, there is still that financial piece. If there was not a financial piece, you wouldn't be an entrepreneur. You'd be some kind of a social entrepreneur. Well, maybe not even a social entrepreneur. That's sort of a newfangled term. But you'd basically be somebody who's doing stuff for the community and completely volunteering your times and efforts.
Okay, that's one quick question related to that. Basically, what I'm thinking is you are right. Going out to a small business and like a $20 and $30 a piece business, and if you were to have a 10,000 subscriber, it's gonna be humongous task. What I'm doing is I'm totally into social media marketing, and also this is for the listener, people who do not know what is social media marketing. I would recommend the book called Worldwide Rave and the Woofy Factors. Those are the stunning book. You can really learn a lot of stuff. So I'm doing my homework, and I am also trying to do that. My idea is to get 10,000 subscribers in first 18 months of operation. And my next strategy is I don't want to call VC. Let the VCs call me. Okay, that's my
strategy. Fantastic. More power to you.
Yes, exactly. So those are the things. So do you think that 10,000 subscriber number is a good number that VCs would call me?
10,000 subscribers at $20 a month?
Yeah, something like that.
That's 200,000 a month? Yeah, I guess so.
Then you have to also look at profitability.
That is what I'm trying to, because for next 12 months or so, I'll be okay, doing whatever. Even if I get a little bit of 100, 200 subscriber per month, I'll be still, I may not make money, but at least I'll be okay. I can pay my bills. So if I can continue for next 1 year, that's more than that. The product is very appealing. The product is very appealing. Every small business needs it. And the best part of it, there is a successful product, a competitor out there, but they are not extended to Facebook, iPhone, Droid, all kinds of applications, which we did. Plus, a little bit of different, little bit more simplified. I did my research. Yeah. 45% of the software features nobody uses. Whether you call it SAP or Oracle, anything you do, 45% of the features nobody uses. So why put 40% features? Why nobody uses it? How many features of Windows do you use?
Well,
10%,
20%. See, here's the challenge.
So that's what I did. I took out those 45% unimportant features so that people can use all the 100% features, very few features, but very relevant, very important, and very useful.
No, I think that's a noble goal to shoot for, but here's the problem. The problem is that there's so-called 55% of the features that you say people are not using are the features that people use and say, wow, and they go out and tell their friends about it. Like, you know what? I wanted to do this and I was able to do this because nothing else let me do this. And that gives you a lot of buzz right there.
Yeah, don't think in terms of the features. Think in terms of what problem are you solving and then when are you going to be profitable? And I mean, those are the two, which is very, very, and what is strategy you're going to use to become profitable, including taking the VC money or when you need to raise capital, whom do you bring, whom do you partner? Just really keep thinking that who's your customer, what problem are you solving, and when are you going to be profitable? A lot of people don't think of that versus just feature and functions. And don't start drinking your own Kool-Aid. That's one thing which I learned. Make sure that, as you said, solve the real problem, and that could be just one versus 45 things you're talking about.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, definitely. The product is a proven product. Actually, there's one more huge competitor out there. But, that's a proven product. There are 3 million users all over the world is using it for my nearest competitor.
Yeah.
So the product is a proven product. There's a market out there. So I'll have several. First 2-3 months, it would be free subscription model, free.
Right now,
then slowly I'll ask them to, sign up for, whatever the monthly fee, which is very low than others. So that is what I'm going to do. But that's really a lot of encouraging, talks I had just now. A lot
well,
of
great.
Input you guys gave me. Thank you for that.
Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Thank you. All right. We're talking today with Ajay Mishra, serial entrepreneur, working on startup number 2, raised $20 million for the current startup.
That's correct.
We're going to continue this conversation just as we come back from break.
Is Rohit to make highlights?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything I highlight is automatically saved and clipped for me.
So, what's the benefit?
What's the benefit, you ask? Let me tell you. Everything I highlight is automatically filed for me. So, for example, if I'm doing a search for something using Google or whatever, typically I have to go through several pages. And on each page, there is only a part of the page that I'm interested in. I just highlight the portions of the page that are of interest to me. Rohit automatically, behind the scenes, saves all my highlights for me. I can then just go and see everything in my collection on one page.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, get this. I can then further cherry pick and combine them. What that does is, it shows me all the underlying pages with highlights as one page.
Wow! Okay, I am impressed. How do I sign up? What does it cost?
Ha! Get this. It's all free and you don't even have to sign up or fill out any registration forms.
Sweet! Okay, I'm going to go download it right now.
Cool! By the way, thought I'd mention, there is no download requirement either.
This is too good to be true.
Try it. What have you got to lose? Rohit is fabulous.
Highlight the web.
Go Rohit.
Did you get my email?
Oh, on the project?
Yeah, you know the project that's due next Friday? I'm going to highlight the first 5 articles. Kathy's going to do the next 5. And can you get to the last 5?
Sounds good. I'll get on them. I'm going to do all my highlights in yellow. And can you use pink?
Yeah, then we can just combine all the highlights to create our final report.
Sure. Thanks, Ina. Will do.
Sharing your research has never been easier. Use Rohit.com. Rohit.com.
If you like our show, make sure to tell your friends to tune in on Saturdays at noon, every Saturday on 1170 AM. In fact, you can even blog about this show. And please send out a company-wide email on your Desi email alias about our show. Sacramento, home for rent in Sacramento. A completely remodeled, brand-new 2-bedroom, split-level townhome has central heat and air conditioning and is beautifully maintained. And it shows. If you see it, you will love it. Call 916-674-2540 to schedule a time to see it.
Sapne Salamat. Welcome back, doston. Sapne Salamat. We are talking today with Ajay Mishra, serial entrepreneur. So, and I think one of the things we want to focus on today's conversation is the customer, because you're now at Mobile Iron, which is your second startup, and you've raised $20 million. You've raised money from Storm Ventures, Norwest,
and Sequoia.
So you've got the creme a la creme of the venture world that you've raised money from.
So in both companies, even last one, Airspace and in Mobile Iron, before we did anything, I went and I started looking at around 15 or 20 customers I needed. I call them teaching customers. So in each part of the, like in a healthcare, education, service provider, high-tech company, just come up with a 15 or 20 customers who are opinion leading, they're teaching customers, and start bouncing the idea early on. The good thing is that in last company, out of 25 teaching customers I had, 16 became paying customer by the time we exited out of.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So if I'm a young entrepreneur starting a new company, and one of the biggest challenges is always, how do you get your first customer? So how do you get your first customer?
It's really easy. You basically, any customer in the past you have dealt with, go ahead.
But
and
again, I'm going to interrupt you and I'm going to make this simple for my listeners, because my listeners is a lot of first-time entrepreneurs. Says, I don't have any customers. I don't know. I'm an engineer. I'm starting a company. How do I get a customer? I'm not a sales guy.
So log into Jigsaw, go to LinkedIn, search, and these days it has become a little easier. Come up with the name of the people in each segment whom you believe that there could be a potential customer.
So, okay, good.
Go
so
to competitive site.
Okay, so I do my research and I build a list of companies that I want to approach. Once I've built this list of companies, who do I approach in there?
So then basically just out of that, go to LinkedIn and Jigsaw, find the names of the, like if it's CIO, it's a security product, it's a software product, or it's a business user.
So again, I want to really drill all the way down to the bottom of this and say, so I go find these people. One of the things that my people I talk to, and myself included, always struggle with, should I start with the director of product management and work my way up to the CEO? so that the director of product management earns some stripes to say, I found this cool idea and I'm building this to the bringing it to the company? Or should I start from the top so that people have to follow the directive and go do it?
So let me give you two examples.
Yes, please.
In my last company, I saw a gentleman's name from Duke Hospital. His name was in the press. He was using a comparative product. I called him up. I said, Mr. X, I'd like to come talk to you. He was a director level person. And he says that we don't talk to startups.
A director level person and what size company?
In a hospital.
Okay.
And so he was reporting to CIO. He was just one level below.
Okay.
And then basically he says, we don't talk to startups and that's all. So I said, I happen to be in the area. I went and met the person.
Now, where is this area that we're talking about?
Pardon?
What area was this
in? It was a healthcare.
No, I meant you said you happened to be in the area.
I happened to be on the East Coast. He's in Raleigh.
Okay.
But I was in San Jose. I just told him I happened to be in the area. Would he be open for lunch?
And did you go to Raleigh just to meet with him?
I just went to meet with him. That was the intention, but I couldn't get the meeting. If I say I'm coming to meet with him, I just say I happen to be in the area.
So that was a $500 bet you made in terms of an airfare and a hotel, and you showed up in Raleigh and said, I'm here in town.
That is correct, and he became my first customer, the best customer, and he became the more told to a lot of other customers. So just giving you that one example in this company itself where I am.
So again, I want to take you down, because to you this is very simple. To the rest of us, it's not so simple. So you showed up and he called up and he decided to have lunch with you. So that was kind of fortunate, because mostly they won't even agree to have a lunch with you, because who are you? I don't know you from Adam. Why should I have lunch with you? So let's grant that somehow by stroke of good luck, I'm able to get the guy to lunch. Now what happens when I'm having lunch with him, that I happen to be in town and gee whiz, here's my sales pitch and I open up my laptop and show my presentation?
No, actually what you have, that you have to really think about, start talking about what problem. Basically you have to figure out that how can you solving a problem where he can be a hero.
Tell me what you did. That's what I want to hear.
So when last time, actually, I just I told him that 2003 in the hospital, these laptops are going to come from every direction and they become your problem. I want you to become the hero, champion inside your hospital, and I'll work with
okay,
you
good.
To
so
solve
number one,
that problem.
So the number one thing that you did was, the guy you're talking to, you're making him look like a hero internally.
That is the way to do it, because... So that's what I did. And after that, he became actually not only hero inside his company, but after we launched the product, he became hero outside his colleague and peers.
So this is hindsight 2020. How did you convince him that doing this was going to make him a hero and not a villain?
So you have to really look at it, that you have to really think about the problem and have the right architecture.
No, we understand that. I think as entrepreneurs and founders, we all understand our problem spaces and we all understand our product solutions, and we all have the passion, conviction, faith in what we're doing. The big problem is, when I'm talking to Mr. X, how do I convince Mr. X that by using my solution, he's going to become a hero and not a villain? Because that's their biggest fear, is I'm going to embrace this new technology from this new startup. Either the technology is going to fail or the company is going to fail, and everybody's going to say, you messed up. You made a mistake.
Right. So find the people who are an early adopter of the technology in each. And those are the companies you want to go after. And each industry, there's an early adopter of the people and company. So
is there a list that I can go and look up?
Actually, look at the press and other places where who are the people who are talking about this technology or a similar technology. Like, let's say if you take a security company or you take a software company, who are the people who are the first adopter? Find those and in that company, and they are the one who really want to take the startup product. But at the same time, make sure that you don't let them be down. You have to stand behind them and make sure that they really look good when your product is out. You're always available and you're really paying attention to what they're saying.
Right. Now, clearly, you are the chief customer officer at your current company.
That is correct.
That comes through very clearly. I want to hear about... So from the young entrepreneur standpoint, when I'm trying to break in, so first of all, it's always, there's two, again, another battle. So there's constantly battles, but you're trying to figure out, do I start with the largest customers first? Do I start with the small customers first? Because if I get IBM as a customer, I've got a fantastic big name customer. The problem is, do I want to cut my teeth with a small, my backyard software company and go see and be successful over there? What is your take? Start
Where do I start?
So when I started as a teaching customer before the company got started, I had 20 customer out of 20 customer, around 10 were the large, around 5 were small, and then couple of service providers, which are huge. And what I wanted to make sure that what I'm building the product is for Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 product. But the small guys are the one who are going to deploy first. The big person, it just, not only that they will do the beta, but their buying cycle and all those take long time. And also the large customer don't go on the press and the reference. So it's very important that you mix and match the large and big, and the small, large and the small. The small ones, you're going to win first. They become your case study, customer reference, and so on. But the large one, you're going to win within a year or two of the product launch. So again, the build the product for the large company, which is Fortune 500 or Global 1000, and that happened to just work with the small one, and small one will buy your product right away.
Interesting. All right, so phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. We are talking to Ajay about customer appreciation. And you are now working at Mobile Island. How much money have you raised here, you said?
$20 million.
$20 million. And you raised this from Sequoia and Norwest. Sequoia. Now, these are both fantastic names in the valley. How does one raise money from Sequoia? Or how does one raise money from Norwest?
So it's really simple. Anytime you start a company, you have to do three things.
Okay.
One of them is that you have to make sure that 2 years from now, there'll be a disruption coming, and that disruption, there's a problem need to be solved, and that will be a large market. Large market, but you have to really think about it has to be $500 million to $1 billion market. So in this case, when I started my...
When you say $500 million to $1 billion market, how are you quantifying how does one quantify the market for something that doesn't even happen? Because we're talking about coming disruption, right?
You're right. So you have to really, like, let's say my current company is a smartphone. We are trying to actually, what we noticed that before the company started, a lot of smartphones were coming to enterprise. They were going to become your primary device. They were also, now the smartphones are going to iPad and the tablet devices. And in 2007, I'd already recognized that it's going to be large market. Every employees will have two devices. One is the smartphone, other one is a tablet, which happened to right now coming from a smartphone operating system. And you add up that even a small percentage, 3-5% of the penetration can get you almost like a $50 to $100 million sales, and that actually can create. So it's real business, real opportunity, and real people are willing to pay a real dollar.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic advice. So now that I have my first customer, how do I get from there to the second and the third and the fourth? And by the way, are these not happening in parallel, or is this a serial process?
No, they're all happening in parallel. It's a different time, a different close. So what do you have to do? You have to look at what markets, first segment the market, like healthcare, hospitality, high technology, transportation, distribution, and even service provider. And then after that, look at which market, well, there's an urgency to buy something. Because there's an urgency and other ones are not. So identify where the urgency is, and then go after them first, and the other ones will follow. And come up with also, don't just get narrowed down to one part of the market. Make sure that you're looking at other segment and trying to identify in the parallel what is the opportunity, what makes them to buy, and you may see that there's different drivers to buy the same product.
Interesting. Okay. Now, I think coming back to this whole issue, because is this customer-centric, how do you keep your company customer-centric? Is it a good idea to keep your company customer-centric? And before you answer that question, I know you're the chief customer officer, but there's also people that say the product is king. And how do you make that balance between saying the product is king or the customer is king?
It's very simple that I've seen a lot of company where product has been king, and it's some has been successful, others were not. So I think there's a balancing act here that makes sure that customer is king and the product is also king. That's the ideal situation. But anytime when the...
But you can't have two kings.
When you have to prioritize, I think it only comes down to when you have to prioritize. If you have to prioritize some decisions that should I add a bunch of these things or solve the real customer problem, I will always solve the real customer problem first, and I'll prioritize that first.
Interesting. All right, we need to take a break here. I see a producer signaling for a break, and we're going to come back and continue talking with Ajay Mishra.
Do you use Rohit to make highlights?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything I highlight is automatically saved and clipped for me.
So, what's the benefit?
What's the benefit, you ask? Let me tell you. Everything I highlight is automatically filed for me. So, for example, if I'm doing a search for something using Google or whatever, typically I have to go through several pages. And on each page, there is only a part of the page that I'm interested in. I just highlight the portions of the page that are of interest to me. Rohit automatically, behind the scenes, saves all my highlights for me. I can then just go and see everything in my collection on one page.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, get this. I can then further cherry pick and combine them. What that does is, it shows me all the underlying pages with highlights as one page.
Wow! Okay, I am impressed. How do I sign up? What does it cost?
Ha! Get this. It's all free and you don't even have to sign up or fill out any registration forms.
Sweet! Okay, I'm going to go download it right now.
Cool! By the way, thought I'd mention, there is no download requirement either.
This is too good to be true.
Try it. What have you got to lose? Rohit is fabulous.
Highlight the web.
Go Rohit.
Do you ever copy paste parts of a web page, drop it into email and send it off to somebody? Why bother? Wouldn't it be easier if you could just highlight it? Now you can. Make yellow highlights on any web page of your choice. No sign up, no service to join, no downloads. It's fast and it's free. Rohit.com.
Rohit is simplifying your life online. It is one of the most 25 most popular apps on Google Toolbar and has served up millions of highlighters. Visit Rohit.com to see how you can simplify your life on the web. And now, back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and prosecuted close to a dozen patents individually. His personalized URL patent is used by hundreds of millions of users. Yes, hundreds of millions of users are using an invention that was personally patented by Rohit.
Sapne Salamat. Welcome back, dosto. This is a show for dreamers, for entrepreneurs, for investors that you're listening to on Saturday on KLOK 1170 AM. We are talking today with Ajay Mishra, and serial entrepreneur. So we're talking about customers and how customer-centric and obviously using customer. But what has been your progress, and how did you become the customer officer? I thought you were the founder who started the company.
So anytime you start a company, founder actually wears multiple roles. So I was one person, I was the CEO of the company. Then I had to go look for a founder. And guess what, how I found my founder? I called a bunch of customers who are my ex-customer, and they actually told me, look, talk to these guys. That's how I found my founder even.
Your co-founder?
My co-founder.
Okay.
With me. And so that was the second. And then after that, I was focusing on then we brought the CEO, which is my colleague. He joined us, and so I gave that position to my colleague. After that, I started focusing on the VP of product management, because that is what the startup needed right away.
Yeah.
And so then we brought another colleague who is now VP of product management. Next, the company needed sales and beta, so I started focusing on the sales and beta, and that's when I became chief customer officer. So then we brought the VP of sales now, and he's actually an excellent guy. Now I'm focusing on that the customer who have bought, how can they be successful? How can they go and recommend our product to 10 other people? How can we be a thought leader and then win their mind and soul? So that's how I started from one person, and now I'm become a chief customer officer.
Interesting. And how big is the company now?
The company is approximately 55 to 60 people.
Okay.
And we are located here in Mountain View, California.
Okay.
And we have approximately 50 customers.
50 people, 50 customers. How long has the company been around?
The company has been 2007 it started, and early 2008 we got funded.
Okay, so you've been around for 3 years. What kind of revenue do you have at this point?
I cannot talk about that, but we have been shipping for a year, and we are very pleased with the progress of the company, and we believe it's going to be a very, very huge opportunity, especially the smartphones.
Yeah. So what is the typical size of a deal?
The typical size of any startup, like in my last company.
No, right? I mean in terms of a customer deal.
So what, the way it works depends on the timing of the startup in the enterprise market. So what happened, the first 6 months, the deals are around $25,000. Okay, a lot of them are expand deals. So like a lot of large company, they buy a small, like $25,000 within some first 6 months. After 6 months, I say the second half, typically it becomes $75,000 to $100,000 deals.
Okay.
And then year two, it becomes $100,000, or it could be actually later in the year, it could be $500,000. So that's a typical in the startup, like first 6 months is 20, I mean, it's especially the enterprise. 25 is the good number, and then it becomes 50, and it keeps going up 100, and then after that it's 100.
How long does it take to start a 25, open a 20, close a $25,000 deal?
It depends on the size of the customer, because the effort is almost the same. Sometimes its effort is same as a startup.
How long does it take you?
So typically we started taking like 1 to 2 months, and now it's taking sometimes 2 weeks.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you can actually close a deal in 2 weeks from start to finish?
If there is an urgency, and the other thing is that if the other customers are willing to talk about reference and they actually trust them that the other customer has done all the deal, let's just go for it.
Okay. All right. Openers, closers. Have you heard those terms before? Are you familiar with those terms?
A little bit clarified.
Sure. It's one of the terms that I use quite often, and actually I've heard people around me use as well. Is the opener is the guy who goes in and opens the deal and opens the door and says, you know, this is what my company does, this is what my product does. But the guy that opens the door is not necessarily the best guy to close the deal. He's really great at getting the conversation going, but he just can't drive it. There's a different skill set that's required to go in and actually close the deal.
You're right.
What are the skills that one needs to open, and what are the skills one needs to close? Do you combine both? Do you have both?
So I'm very good in opening the deal.
Okay.
But I have to say I'm not best in closing the deal.
Okay.
I have to basically, the sales team, the guys, the VP of sales and rep, they're very good in closing the deal. So what we have done is a combination of it, that anytime the sales need bring us in as an opening, or sometimes we open and we transfer to sales, and then they are very good in closing the deal.
Okay. Is it okay if I open up the phone lines briefly and have a couple of calls that are coming in? So phone number to studio is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. Feel free to call in. We are now going to be taking some questions on the air about customer focus and startups. Back to you in the meantime, Ajay. What do you think are good skills required to open?
To open a...
A deal, a new deal.
Open the deal, actually, it's in my case, every time I have been to the customers, like the first customer I went there, it's a food company in Southern California. To open the deal, I have to really sell them the vision and then show them where, you know, really become, define their strategy, help them what they need to do, and also solve some real problem, what they have, two or three problems which they have.
No, you have to be specific, but okay, what do you do to open a deal?
Do I open a deal? It's... I think it's pretty natural to me. it's really identify two or three problems.
Yeah.
That's the first thing, and then latch on it, and then make sure that we're solving that problem. And then after that, the baseline is met. Where are you going to take the company?
Okay, let me turn the question around. You are not the closer. Why are you not the closer? What are the skills that you lack that you think, or you think you are missing because of which you're not
because
the closer?
Because closer side, what I noticed that I can go and talk about where we're heading, but the sales team is very good in terms of, let's define the process. Do you have a budget? Do you have in 2-3 weeks, how long you want to do eval? And at the end of the eval, what the result is? And these are the things you expect, and at the end you look at PO. And they also go in the different part of the organization to make sure that everything can be done. That is actually very, 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 my hat's off to the sales team. They actually spend a lot of time to making sure that they really define the process, and they have the beginning and end.
Right.
That means I have not. I need to learn a lot from the others. Yeah.
No, I actually agree with you. That's absolutely right. I think to close the deal, what it requires is diligence and pursuit and all of that. So phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. We've got a call coming in. We're going to take live. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, my name is Amit, and I am calling from Fremont.
Amit, Sapne Salamat, can you turn your radio down, please?
Yes. I am. I am calling from Fremont.
Yes, Amit. Sapne salamat.
Okay, I have a question for Mr. Ajay Mishra.
Go ahead, Amit.
Hello?
Amit, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Ajay Mishra. Mr. Ajay Mishra, when you start a company initially, I want to ask that how do you focus on a product? How do you recognize a product? How do you focus on a product? And initially, how do you need for a small startup? And that money comes out of your pocket, or do you get it from any other, you know, venture capitalist or something like that?
That is a very good question. So what I have done in both of my companies, I actually went and worked at both of my companies were incubated at Storm Ventures. Actually, Storm is in Palo Alto, and
they used to be on Sand Hill Road, weren't they?
Sand Hill Road, yeah.
Menlo Park.
Yeah, they had two last location, new one, yeah.
Right.
So what I did early on, actually first recognized the market, I wanted to get rid of my logistic problem and other issues, as well as also have someone where I can bounce the idea. So Storm Ventures, I knew one of the couple of people from my Cisco days. So my first company, I went there, and then it came up with a business plan, just a very early business plan, and they gave us $500,000. That was very important, because that actually now you can attract the employee number 1, 2, 3, and they can be paid. So what we had to do early on, just go to 10 or 15 customers, come up with a business plan, make sure that there's a real architecture that can sustain, and the 2 or 3 years later, the market is going to be big, and the Storm was able to give you the money. And there's others who do the same thing, my other VCs too. So to answer your question, I took more towards the Storm Venture models. Well, they incubated the company, and they gave me the money, and then I was able to raise the, and then put the business plan together. 6 months later, we just raised the Series A, and that was in January for this company. So actually, both companies, it was early January. Did I answer your question, Amit?
Okay. I guess, I think that was an excellent answer. I certainly appreciate that. And I think, in fact, we have had Sanjay Subedar from Storm Ventures, who actually started Storm Ventures on our show on a previous, a few months back.
Yeah.
So coming back, now that the sales team is doing the due diligence process, what is the distinction between a biz dev guy and a sales guy?
They both are hunter. But one is hunting for immediate opportunity, and the biz dev guys are looking for elephants. That's how I look at it. When I say elephants, like you mentioned, like IBM.
Right.
So it's the sales team is looking at the customer and partner. How do you get the immediate hunting, the large and the small?
Yeah.
Whereas the biz dev guys are looking for hunter, which is offensive and defensive.
Yeah.
The hunting could be, you have to prioritize that whom do you want to go offensive and where you want to defensive. And that could be different, like the channels, partners, OEMs. You have to really prioritize who are the people who sell into these markets and who will be your best big elephants where you want to go after.
Yeah. No, very well put. Very well put. Okay. Phone number to studios is 408-912-5565. We're talking with Ajay Mishra. We are talking about how to build a startup. We're talking about how to focus on customers. Ajay's done, 2 startups at this point and actually working on startup number 2. Previous one he sold for $450 million. That's almost $500 million, which is a lot of money for most of us. One of the questions that a lot of us don't understand or don't realize that I want to sort of get out there is, so when you sell a company for that much, how much of the company do the founders actually own?
So that is a very good question. Typically, if you go with there's a large market, as in part of the execution, you get the best VC on your side, and the best VCs, what happens around 60%, approximately 60% is owned by the VCs, 25% is by employee and rest by the founders.
60, 25, 85, so about 15% odd is owned by...
Yeah, that's approximately stage with the founder, and it also depends on the market.
Stage of the company and all of that, right.
Yeah.
So you're saying about 15%, and in this case, there were about 4 founders.
That's exactly, that's around Series C, and by the time earlier, you have a much bigger chunk, and it just starts diluting.
Right. So here's the other piece that we don't often realize is we always talk about $450 million acquisition. You think, oh, wow, he made $450 million. But guess what? You only have about $60 million that's left, and that's also split 4 ways, and you don't know what else is happening. in terms of where else what was given up. So it's really not that much that the founders end up within a venture deal. Okay, phone lines are completely lit up. I'm going to grab them real quick, one after the other. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, my name is Amita. I'm calling from Fremont. I have a question for...
Sapne Salamat, Amita.
Sapne Salamat, yes.
Fire away. What's your question?
My question is, you know, if I have a company and I suppose I launch a new product which is not around in the market, and it's a new thing. And my question is, how do I get people aware of that product? How do I approach people?
What space is your product in, Amita?
What is that?
What space is your product? Is it enterprise, consumer?
It is enterprise.
Okay, Ajay.
Okay, it's so Amita, what's your? Are you an engineer or are you?
Yes, I'm an engineer. I'm a computer engineer. Suppose I launch a software, new software product, and I want to sell it to IBM. And so, how do I, get people aware of that product? What should be
So quickly reach out to the people who are part of your network, who are on the business side. Sit down with them and quickly understand where how they're selling to the product. And don't go for a big guy first. Go for a smaller one first, and the medium size. They are the first. Reach for big guys, but you're not able to sell without having a genuine company. So reach to your network, who the people who are selling to the enterprise, and then quickly focus on the small to medium size first. And then as soon as you figure out the sales playbook, and then go after the big guys.
But all of these have long cycles, Ajay. Even when I'm going to the small guys, I think for a young startup, you're talking about a few months to close anything.
So that's why you got to really come up with what problem are you solving. And you have to make them believe that you are going to solve their problem. You're going to be around there. And then you are the team where they're going to put their neck around it. Mm-hmm. And it's really very emotional. I mean, you have to really win their customer's mind and soul as the first few to sell it. And once you have one or two, then it expands very fast.
How's that for an answer, Amita? All right.
Yes, yeah. I like the answer. It is a good answer, and I will definitely follow.
Okay.
If you don't mind, can you talk to my husband? Actually, he's running a company, and that was actually his question. So if you don't mind, can you talk to him for 1 minute?
Actually, we've got a couple of lines on hold. Why don't you call back in so we make sure we get to all the callers that we can get to. But thank you for your call. Thank you. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah.
Sapne Salamat, caller, you're live on air. You need to turn your radio down, please.
Okay. Hi, Sapne Salamat. This is Himanshu here.
Yes, Himanshu. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I have a question. If I am trying, I want to launch a company and start a product. So first, I should have the product ready or halfway of the product before trying to sell it to a customer, or I should first sell the idea to the customer and then start working on the product.
Okay, so Himanshu, is that right? Himanshu,
yeah.
Here's what I done. You have to have, number one, identify this is a big market. You cannot do two things successfully. So first thing I did, I left my current job. That is different between an entrepreneur and a part-timer. So if you are a real entrepreneur, you believe in the market and it's going to be big, leave your current job. If you don't do it, then that's not, therefore you're not an entrepreneur. That's the first thing. Number two, you have become an entrepreneur, now go through all the typical, make sure have the teaching customer, attract the other people if they can leave the day job and join in your idea, get the VCs who are willing to invest and so on. So it's really important that you believe in the idea, you believe in the market, and think about 2 years down the road or a year down the road, especially how the market looks like. That is the problem you're going to solve. So it's really important that you are passionate about it and it's a large market, and then find other people who believe in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Himanshu. So phone number studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. All right, coming back to Ajay. So one of the things we wanted to mention actually is, folks, if you have questions that you still need answers to, want to get addressed, you can also reach us on the web at ruhit.com/radio, or you can send us an email to radio@ruhit.com. The show is looking for volunteers. As you mentioned earlier, this is a show that's been put together to help the community, and we're certainly looking for volunteers that can help out in technologies to basically help with the website or with scheduling guests or a whole bunch of marketing efforts, initiatives that we have in place. So you can reach us again at radio@ruhit.com. Ajay, I've got two more calls coming in. I'm going to grab them live on the air. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, this is Narayan. Can I talk to Ajay Mishra?
Narayan, you're live on air. Sapne Salamat.
Go ahead, Narayan.
Yeah, I have a question regarding, you know, I have an idea. I work on it. You know, I sell it to the venture. You know, we talk about a schedule. We put a time frame. What happens if you know if we eventually find out that you know plan or schedule is going to take at least double the time, you know, for some reason, for some valid reasons. So you know, did you ever face such kind of situations? And you know, how do people normally deal with it?
So really quick, when you're looking at that, the product time frame will take twice the time to build. Is that what the question is?
Yeah, I mean, okay. For some valid reasons, yeah, it would take twice the time.
Okay,
I
so teased, let me answer that question. It always raise money for two product releases. Raise as much as money you can. Things happen. The first release is not always best, or maybe some things like recession happen. So always raise money. That means you have to give up the company more for two product releases.
Okay. Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Yeah, hi. My name is Shyamkant. I'm calling from Cupertino. And I have a question. You know, so if you have an idea and, you know, I wanted to basically go for, you know, product idea. So my question is, which always comes in mind is, whether should I file patent first or should I file patent later on in the process? So how do I go about that?
So do not file patent while you're working for your existing company, otherwise they own it. So you got to leave the company and then file the patent. And that's the first thing you learn. And then...
Well, not only the filing, because if the conception date would still go back to that.
So exactly. You have to, do not
that's
file.
A very, very sensitive... Well, I wouldn't say do not file, because I think you actually have to do the conception after you left it. So that's what you have, need to demonstrate and prove. Otherwise, the prior company will own it. In fact, if you go back and listen to the show that we did last week, we had Rajiv Madhavan who was on. And he had a co-founder who made that exact mistake, which cost the company $75 million because the conception was done at a prior company. But patents are very important. Sorry, we're running out of time here, but we have to run away. Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air. Last call.
Yeah, hi, Sapne Salamat. My question to you is, I'm partnered with my former employer to set up mercantile exchanges in some of the countries in Latin America. Do you think... if we need funding, that would be available from the United States or California for the VCs?
It's all about the color of money. If it's green, they'll take it. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Okay, okay.
So if you can demonstrate to them that you can make green U.S. backs, you're in good shape. That's
okay.
It's all about money in the venture business. It's investing and making money.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, last call, one more time.
It's all about money.
All right, are we going to let this one go? Thank you. Folks, please do remember to turn your radios down. Questions, reach us on radio@ruhit.com. We are looking for interns. We are looking for people that understand LAMP technologies, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, JavaScript, and things like that. So feel free. Ajay, thank you for coming on the show. We certainly appreciate your help. And if you have any questions, reach us.
Just wanted to let you know that I work for Mobile Iron. That's my current company, and it's focused on the smartphone and enterprise.
Thank you. Sapne Salamat.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting. For individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.